You're listening to Archer Radio.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queer cast on the internet. We have a special show today. The boyfriend is here, and we are going to talk wine. This is the wine show.
And I'm at a perfect distance from my microphone so that my voice does not overpower Archer at any time.
And you can tell that, Mr. Boyfriend, because look at these little dots on the screen.
Oh, my God!
See what happened? You can't do that. See, you want to keep them just these little dots like that, okay?
Don't you know that when you tell me not to do something, that's exactly what I'm going to do?
Okay.
So, stop in the name of podcasting.
Okay.
Before I shout real loud, okay. Think it over.
Okay, now this is the wine podcast.
Stop. So. In the name of love.
Okay.
Before I lock my panties, think it over.
Okay, now, the people who might listen to this may not want to hear that, but we are here tonight to discuss the Mount Brow, how do you say this, Tartaglia.
I say Tartaglia.
Which is a red table wine from Sonora, California.
Now, I may be wrong, but I think Tartaglia is an Italian dance of some sort. I might be wrong.
This I have no idea of. But that's certainly something we could look into. This bottle of wine was sent to us by Special Delivery Mark, who lives out in Sonora, California, which is the gold country of California. And for this podcast, we're going to talk about this wine as well as a couple other wine-related topics.
Absolutely.
But I think we should begin with this Tartaglia. And I think you're right about the way you pronounce that. For this evening, I made some angel hair pasta with some red meat sauce to go along with the Tartaglia. We had some goat cheese on baguette. Is that a baguette?
Yeah.
Okay. And some buttered bread to go along with the dinner. And we first...
And some rosemary cheese.
Some rosemary cheese and crackers. That's right. Now, we began by just tasting the Tartaglia, and what was your initial impression of the Tartaglia?
Very good table wine. I can't imagine anyone not, even if you're not a red wine drinker, if you have this with, classic Italian food, spaghetti, or it's a no-fail wine. A blend. I would like to know what the blend is.
Yes, unfortunately, it does not say on the bottle. But you were trying
winemakers who make these kinds of table wines will just crush whatever grapes they have out
right.
in the field. So, this is Sonora, California, and obviously, it's rooted in Italian heritage. My taste buds say, and what I smell is Cabernet, but then that's in the same. You're not really that far removed from Chianti style, great, Sangiovese or.
But now was I wrong?
Nebbiolo. So it could be a blend of several varietals that would make a really good red wine that would. Pair with Italian fare. You can even have some roasted meats with this.
Well, yeah, because would you... No, but let me just ask you this. Would I be wrong in saying that I did detect some Merlot in there? Is that possible?
Well, probably. A red table wine that's a blend of wines, the normal blend is... the Cabernet Merlot, when you think of Bordeaux or the Tuscan region, they're not... that different.
Okay.
So you could have for example lasagna with a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Right.
So it's not like they're that far removed, and perhaps we're not wine snobs, and I'm sure there's some wine snob or sommelier out there who would want to pick apart the differences, but we had that leftover lasagna with the Cabernet Sauvignon from Oasis,
right.
and we all enjoyed it.
We had
two other friends with us. And we all enjoyed it, and it it's probably not that much of a difference. But this is really a no-fail crowd pleaser. I would think anyone would enjoy this wine with any number of beef, pork. You can do it with a ragu with lamb, veal, and you know, classic, you know, Italian herbs, basil. We had this with rosemary cheese, and it was good.
Now, would you say that, because it's got 13% alcohol, would you say this is just a tad bit fiery?
Maybe slightly, not terribly so. I mean, I've had, the California Reds that I've, in the past several years
recently,
have been extremely 15% alcohol.
Right.
I went to a wine tasting and had a California Cabernet Sauvignon, and enjoyable if I had like a big steak with blue cheese, and but by itself, it kind of punched you in the mouth. And I guess 4 or 5 years ago, I enjoyed that and went out to Napa and enjoyed those styles of wines. But lately, I've enjoyed the tamer tannins that you get in some of the classic Bordeaux styles.
Well, me definitely. I prefer the lower tannins.
So those wines are very good if you know you're going to have big, really big meals with them. That beef or some heavier food is going to be the showcase. But this is not that kind of a wine. I mean, it is 13% is it's not terribly fiery.
It was it's a little peppery though in terms
of that's from the oak,
right?
The oak treatment, but it's very good.
I would certainly
drink it again.
I would too. I was going to say, and it went well with what we had for dinner. I mean, with the red sauce, it certainly was fine with that.
Or you could have this with a leg of lamb, or.
But this is not a sipping wine, is it? Now.
Oh, I would sip this.
But only when you had a little nibble, something to nibble. Oh, but actually, we should say that we did have some dark chocolate with it at the end of the meal.
So you can have dark chocolate or some cheeses. It went very well with the goat cheese and crostinis we had. It went very well with the rosemary flavored cheese. Even a light cheddar, a yellow cheese. This is pretty versatile. You could.
I have to say though that considering the California Reds that we've tasted lately, like the 15% one that we had a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised that this one isn't as fiery as California Reds.
It's much smoother than
much
the one
smoother.
We had.
Yeah, and I did not, because I have an issue with tannins and feeling the tannins in the back of my throat. This, I didn't feel them at all.
Oh, no. Much smoother and rounder and friendlier to the mouth. And
a good bottle of wine. I mean, just...
Well, we had a couple of very good Bordeaux, French Bordeaux. We had the one, the Chateau along the river, Perdul, and then we had Saint Estèphe that we got from Pearson's recently.
Right.
I don't think I poured that one yet.
Yeah, but I think I was with you when we bought it. But so this is the Mount Brow Winery, Tartaglia,
mm-hmm.
in Sonora, California. And thank you to Special Delivery Mark.
We have that Sangiovese to look forward to tomorrow.
Right, and actually I was going to say that was going to be my next point, was that this is just the first of two wine reviews that we're going to do for Mount Brow Winery. Now, I should say... not really preface this, but just say now that we are not being compensated for these reviews. These are strictly because Special Delivery Mark knows that we enjoy wines, and he sent us these for our own review. If we didn't like them, we would either not talk about them or be nice. But this one actually is a very good bottle.
It's very good.
It's very good. We can't say anything bad about it. And I actually like this painting on the bottle.
It is very nice.
I mean, granted, that's like the last thing you look at, but anyway, so that was the Tartaglia from Mount Brow Winery. And tomorrow, the next day that we are having dinner, we're going to have the Sangiovese from Mount Brow Winery, and I believe that's a 2004.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I have to remember that year, but I think it's a 2004. Now, what have you decided to serve with that?
We're going to have pork loin.
pork loin. Okay, you're good. You're delicious.
Grilled vegetables. I think I'm going to grill spaghetti squash, your favorite. With tomato, basil, olive oil, tossed in there. I might even have some roasted red pepper. That I think would go very well with Sangiovese. My hunch is that this is not a super Tuscan-style wine, so what we're having will be very good. I might do a marinade with some Sangiovese-friendly
ingredients. For the pork loin, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, definitely garlic and the classic Italian herbs, rosemary or whatever. So I'm going to kind of pick my brains and see what I want to have. But, Sangiovese is not actually difficult to pick. I mean, anything rustic and
well, it's another one of those that can go with a lot of things.
Well, and I think even the simpler, any tomato-based dish, a classic Italian, I mean, when you think of Chianti wines, that's basically what you're having is Sangiovese.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Sangiovese, and of course I'm looking forward to your meal.
Barbaros, and we had that with lasagna, that would go very well with lasagna as well.
Is Sangiovese, is the Barbera like a Sangiovese?
Pretty much. Now, when you're dealing with the big, heavy Tuscan wines, heavier meats and
are more appropriate.
We had the Amarones we had at Pearson's recently. There was an Amarone that was very
pizza friendly.
Well, there was one really.
I was
going
to say there was one that made me grab my throat.
They come in huge wines. I mean, they look like ink. They're yes. So dense. Those are the ones you want to have your heavy roasts, meats with. So what we're having tomorrow, I think, is going to go very well with a very nice pork loin with some roasted vegetables. Very, typical rustic Italian fare. And so I'm looking forward to it.
And I'm going to bring the Eye River to your house, and we might have to just podcast.
Cry a river.
Podcast about it afterwards.
That's right. And if you keep giving me orders, you might be crying a river.
Well, now, since this is the wine podcast, we do have a couple other topics to discuss. Because of Mark, Special Delivery Mark, sending us the wine, we have decided to send him some Virginia wines.
Okay.
And I gave the boyfriend the job of making a selection just from my collection alone. And he picked out the Jefferson. Is it Jefferson?
Blanc.
Is it Jefferson or is it Monticello Winery?
Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Monticello is the house built by Jefferson.
Oh, Jefferson Vineyards.
Yes.
Jefferson Vineyards in Charlottesville, Virginia. They're Vin Blanc, which is basically a white table wine.
Well, we have to say, Special Delivery Mark indicated that he liked white sparkling wines.
I believe that's what he said, yes.
And there are some very good sparkling wines here in Virginia. Unfortunately, we don't. They're expensive. But they're world class. Like we were at Oasis last weekend, and we just
We talked about that.
Their brute was divine. But we don't have a bottle. If we had a bottle, I would definitely send that one. And of course, we poured my sparkling Viognier.
It was like a $45 bottle of wine, wasn't it?
But Mark is worth it.
Well, he is, yes. But I'm just saying the brutes are very expensive wine.
Keanu Reeves drinks it.
I know you said that.
But anyway, we don't have that one to send.
Right.
And we poured the spark. I really think Mark would like the sparkling Viognier from Horton, but I poured that for New Year's Eve. So we don't have those in our collection right now. But
nor are we planning a trip to those wineries to get one.
Well, not before we want to send them. So this Vin Blanc, I don't recall how it tastes. It's a Chardonnay, is it Vidal Blanc blend?
On the side of the bottle it says, yes, Chardonnay and Vidal Blanc blend.
So
it's a careful blend.
Okay, so the Vidal Blanc, it's going to be sweet.
You're right, because it says it does have a touch of residual sugar.
There's going to be not substantial, but it's going to be sweeter. So I don't know if Mark likes that style of wine, but if he's having a picnic or if he's having a sandwich and salad and cheeses, if he's sitting out on the deck and after he's had a hard day of delivering.
This says that it goes well with anything from a lightly dressed green salad to grilled chicken.
Okay, so just keep that in mind. It's probably not a wine I would I don't really like sweet wines.
I know you
sweet
don't.
Wines, unless it's fruit sweet. So I like Vidal Blanc because you taste a lot of fruit.
The actual fruit
the
flavor
Vidal
comes
Blanc
through.
Is it grows very well in Virginia, and they range from very dry. We've had the Old House Vidal Blanc, which is dry.
Right.
We've had the very fruit Vidal Blanc that's not. It's not residual sugar sweet, but it's fruit sweet. So we've had some of those. We've had the Grey Ghost Vidal Blanc, for example.
Which is in the Victorian white?
No.
The actual Vidal Blanc, okay.
It's a wine unto itself, and that's a gold medal winner, but we don't have that.
No.
So Chardonnay and Vidal Blanc grow very – they're very good here in Virginia. And if he's on the deck and he's having a salad or some light cheeses – or whatever, he may like it. I don't recall how it tastes. We don't have the sparkling whites in our to send to him. So this might be something he might enjoy, but if he doesn't...
Well, and the thing is, I'm sure he'll let us know if it's his kind of wine. And maybe he can even do a little review on his podcast.
He can. And if, in the meantime, maybe we can think about some of the sparkling wines we're going to send to him. Now, the other one we're going to send, I know he said that he likes the light-bodied Merlots.
No, light-bodied reds.
Okay, well, you don't have...
I know. We looked in my collection, and, Mark, we really just don't have the light-bodied reds. But
we can get him some light-bodied Merlots. They're bad Merlots.
And I wouldn't want to send that to him.
No. So the Merlots here in Virginia do tend to be more medium-bodied Merlots. But we're sending a Cabernet Sauvignon from
Prince
Michel, one of the larger producers of wines in Virginia. This one is another award winner.
It's a 2001.
On the scale of 0 to 5, it is the driest rating you can have. Rich flavors of plum, cherry, and cedar. I will say the winemaker here was winemaker of the year in 1999, he's since moved on from Prince Michel, but in fact we know his father-in-law pretty well.
Yes, from Grey Ghost.
Yes, so
there's a good connection
This is probably a very good wine. We haven't been to Prince Michel in a while, but they do make very, very good wines.
Yes, we actually have been there two times and enjoyed the tasting and bought bottles of wine both times we were there.
Yeah, so we're going to send them this Cabernet Sauvignon. The Virginia Cabernet Sauvignons are not the full body California style wines.
Right, so if you're expecting this heavy tannins,
the high alcohol, this is
you're not
going to
get it. I mean, like, this alcohol content is only 12.5%,
which is typical, and it's probably typical. I mean, Virginia Reds, or the winemakers are saying, we've talked to a number of them, because Virginia cannot produce the kind of full-bodied reds that California can produce, they're looking more toward the Bordeaux styles. They're getting a lot of advice from the French winemakers. So they tend to produce the smoother, velvety tannins, medium-bodied Cabernets that are very friendly to the palate. And so we're sending them. I think this is a good example of that.
Yes, and I hope to get these in the mail to you, Special Delivery Mark, sometime this next week.
Oh, in 2001.
That's what I said.
Which was a drought year in Virginia.
So it's going to be a great bottle of
excellent.
Wine.
Excellent. The Virginia Reds did very well. The Virginia Cabernet Sauvignons tend to not... You know, they struggle against the bigger California Reds here in America.
Well, because I think it's a different wine completely.
It's very different. They are different, and this is a very good year. So he is getting a better year for Virginia red wines.
Yeah, instead of like a 2003.
Right, but even 2000, we've had some 2003 reds that the winemakers struggled, but they produced very good drinkable wines.
Right, I was going to say they were able to get something out of that bad year.
That's the leap the Virginia wineries have made over the past 10 years.
Yeah, that's true.
They've had very good winemakers who are dedicated to making good wines. So anyway, so these are two wines. My own personal hunch is that I think he will like the red.
Do you think that he'll think the white is too sweet?
For me, it would be too sweet. But he may like that.
I know. I think
he
has
enjoyed that out on the deck, on the patio, with your cigarette and your cheese.
But I think he has a different palate than you do.
Okay, so well, let's find out.
I think he'll like it. Okay. Now, in terms of what we are enjoying, we are having.
We can send him some very dry Virginia red.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not sure that he's a dry kind of guy.
Well, the Grey Ghost Reserve Chardonnay would be very dry.
Oh yes, he'll be puckering his lips.
Well, no. I mean, it's sippable, but if he's having some seafood out there or whatever, that would be excellent.
We've had
the Old House Vidal Blanc, which is dry. They produce a very dry Vidal Blanc. The Barbazole Pinot Grigio, which is dry.
Oh, that's very good.
Wine.
But that's very good.
The Linden Sauvignon Blanc is dry as well.
But that's good too.
We just had
that last weekend.
Those are excellent food.
Okay.
Style white wines.
True.
That you probably can't sip, but you can enjoy with foods. So, you know, if he wants those, we can send those too.
Now, right now, as we are doing our podcast, we are having the Village Winery Merlot Cabernet Franc blend.
Yes.
And this is a brand new winery. It's only open. It's only been open since like June.
Yeah.
And we were there actually on opening weekend.
We were.
And then we returned one other time. I think we've already podcasted about this, mm-hmm. about having a special barrel tasting with the winemaker.
Yes.
So we're enjoying this as we're podcasting. Now, the other topic I wanted to tell the listeners about is that the boyfriend and I have actually, you know, we write a wine blog. I don't know if anybody checks it out, but we write a wine blog. And we got, this was the week to get noticed on with the wine blog.
We're famous.
I don't know if you can say we're famous, but we got an email from two different notable people, I would say. One was from the, I believe he's the owner of Horton Vineyards.
I think he's the owner and winemaker.
And winemaker in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Yeah. Horton is one of the bigger producers. If you think of the wine industry on an international scale, Virginia is very small. There are a handful of Virginia wineries that are more national. Their production is more national.
Yes.
Horton's one of them.
Yes. And he just wrote to us to say, you know, that he found our blog and he really enjoys it, right. And thanked us for, because we talked about their sparkling Viognier that we
had. No, wait, but I do want to say, even though I do say national, it's still in a, because I don't want your listeners to think you can go to the liquor store and get Horton.
No, you're still
wines.
Limited on where you
it's
can
still
buy it.
It's very limited, but they are larger producers of wine. So you're more likely, of the wines we were talking about in Virginia, Horton is one of the ones, if you're on the eastern seaboard, for example.
Right.
More likely, but still not very likely to find them, but they're one of the bigger wineries in this area.
Yes. So we got the email from Horton, and the guy said that he had found our blog, and he enjoys the blog, said the site looks great, and he invited us to come down to the Mardi Gras event that they're having on February 4th, and we are seriously considering it.
Yes.
We're going to check our calendar. So that was awfully nice to get an email directly from the wine owner, or the winery owner and winemaker from one that we've been to. So then I was a little surprised on the second one that we got an email from this online news site. It's from a Shenandoah Valley newspaper that has an online website. And the guy said that he had found, he's from the marketing and director of marketing. I'm not sure what his title is, but he found our blog and he wants to know if we will write for their newspaper.
Yes.
Okay, now that's going to sound terrible, honey.
I know it will. You know why I did that?
Because you're obnoxious.
Because you told me not to.
Okay. So this guy sent us this email saying that he wants to know if we would be contributors to their wine section of their newspaper.
Wait, I just want to say.
What?
My passive-aggressive behavior. Actually, my aggressive behavior.
Nasty.
Reminds me of the time I was in the third grade and Sister Mary Alphonsetta said, "Don't cross your T's that way or I am going to hit you." And you know what I did?
She smacked the shit out of you.
You know why?
Because you crossed your T the way she said not to.
Exactly. Well, so I'm going to call you Sister Archerlina Marie.
All right, if you keep making the awful sounds on the microphone, I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
What are you going to do, Sister Archerlina Marie?
I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
I dare you. Do it again. No. I liked it, Sister Mary Archelina.
Let's refocus our attention.
Okay.
Come back with me.
Yes, sister.
We are talking about the email that we got from the Shenandoah Valley newspaper.
Now, don't molest me, sister.
Sweetheart, please. I just want one serious podcast.
I am being serious.
So we have decided that we are going to write him back and tell him that, yes, we are interested in contributing to his newspaper on either a biweekly or monthly basis. We haven't really decided yet. And the boyfriend came up with an excellent idea of what we can contribute. Would you like to expand on that?
Oh, that feels good, sister. Oh, sister.
Please, oh, sister. Please, honey, please.
Okay.
Can you just for me once?
I am being serious. Here's the idea. Here's what we're going to review.
Don't touch the microphone.
Yes, sister.
Because it makes noises, please.
Yes, sister. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Listeners, all I can say, listeners, is that I tried. When yes, you hear sister. That, when you hear all that staticky noise and the loudness, it's all the boyfriend's fault, and it's not like I didn't explain to him.
The devil's making me do it, sister.
No, it's because
you think I need to be punished.
I'm going to slap the shit out of you when we're done here.
Are you going to call my mommy?
Would you please explain the?
I will.
I wanted to have one serious podcast, and the next one you can be silly as hell.
I am being serious. Listen, here's what we're going to do.
Okay, tell me.
Well, my idea. Because we've been to at least 40 Virginia wineries.
42, I think, actually.
Only because you cheated. Just because you got more stickers from the winemakers and put them in your own book does not mean you've been to 42. You've been to as many as I have, but you cheated.
Would you please get to the point?
I am getting to the point my own way. See how bossy... Bossy.
Oh, they know I'm bossy. And they tell me to leave you alone all the time. But
I know. And do you listen?
I no. just want good
but
audio quality.
I think
quality.
Your listeners need to be rest assured that your bossy ways have absolutely no... In fact, they make me even more stubborn, obstinate, honey, insolent, sarcastic,
what is the point? What is the point?
My point is that your tyranny is over.
Get to the point.
I am now controlling the... I am controlling the microphone.
Honey, please. I'm going to end this podcast.
Oh, no, you're not, because I am not done. Here's what we're going to do. Given our 40 visits, our 40 trips to these wineries...
Yes.
We have found even the worst wineries, there's at least one drinkable wine.
Now, we are going to come up with a different word besides drinkable, because that already gives it a negative connotation.
No, drinkable. I mean, when you consider how it is hard to make a drinkable wine.
I agree, but I still think that's just not a very good word.
Well, I think drinkable is good, because some of these wineries are lucky they make drinkable wines. So... We are going to focus on the drinkable wine at each winery. And many wineries will have many excellent wines.
Right.
And we go to them all the time.
And what did you say we would do in that case?
And so we're going to really accentuate all of the positives.
I mean,
right. We're going to talk about the very good aperitifs, the very good reds that are being made. I mean, you know, we can sing their praises. But even some of the wineries, like the new wineries that are really working very hard, and they're making some good drinkable wines, and they need another couple of years. And we've talked to them, and they know that they're trying to catch up.
They know they're fresh,
and they're lucky they've won that one medal, and they're competing against some of the better wineries, and they're still so. There are those, and we can certainly pick. There are a couple of those wines. I mean, we've been to some that are still making some very. We're having one now. I mean, this guy is very fresh. He's very green. He's very new to the business. He's learning from the area winemakers.
This is a really good bottle of wine.
It's good. Now, in this, you can still taste that. You know, because we had his barrel tasting, and you could. The one he just put in the barrel,
right? Because this is I believe
you couldn't even get it down.
This is from his 2004,
and this is his first year. And so there's still a hint of that, you know.
But do you think it's about newness, but six months would make this better?
No, I think it's as good as it's going to get.
Oh, that's right. You did say that earlier.
And so, in fact, I think drink now rather than drink later with this one. Yeah, right. Because
well,
that,
it's a good thing we're having it then.
Yeah, because I think that's going to, you know, what some of the aromas that we're getting here are going to catch up with it later on. So you're good to drink it now.
Okay.
But I think next year, and we had his barrel tasting. We have
right.
Going to
put
the
bottle.
Right,
we can see that it's
going to
be good.
Those are going to be better. And yes. So he is definitely someone we want to feature. But even some of the ones, we've been to some wineries where all we did was just dump in the dump bucket, but we found that one
there was usually
wine
one that we could find.
That right. We could have a glass and sit on the deck, and it's usually sweet.
And it's a one-time kind of thing.
You could have it at a concert. You could have it with a bucket of chicken. Or
but then on the other side of the aisle, we have the Barbersvilles that are going to have five or six really good wines that we like all of them.
Well, we're going next weekend to one of my favorites, one of the wineries that
absolutely
got me into wines,
which people have heard from the podcast. I've heard
a number of times, and we're going to have their Reserve Cabernet because I'm very special.
And we're going to talk about that on the next show, so don't bring it up now.
I am
now.
Special, and that wine is very special. It's won gold medals all over the place.
It is,
and you're going to treat me to it.
And that's Grey Ghost Winery, and.
And I'm going to say it's the Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon.
That's fine. You can say that. Okay, but now let's get back to the reason we're talking about this. So this online news site,
yes,
it's the online version of their print newspaper. What I'm not sure is if what we write about will be in the print version or if it will only appear online. That's my question. But the guy did say we could contribute anything. We could contribute text. We could contribute photos, we can contribute podcasts, and we can contribute videos. We already produce all of those things. So I think we will certainly benefit from, you know, creating all this content and providing it to them, because he will put bios of us on their online site as well as a link back to our Virginia Wine Time blog.
Well, if you can't win the lottery, we'll have to go this avenue to get us out of our...
And well, you said earlier that this might be a stepping stone to
other things.
Something else. I'm just very pleased that the guy read the blog and feels that we're worthy enough to be in a newspaper.
Yeah.
So I'm very pleased. Of course, you'll do the writing and the editing.
Well, I'm going to be checking for a grammar and spelling.
And I'll be the technical end.
Fine.
Fine.
Don't you dare write sentence fragments, and don't you dare...
Okay, here's
give
the thing.
Give me more than one comma splice.
Here's the thing. I'm 41 years old. I don't even know what a fucking fragment is.
I'll give you a fragment later on. Do you know how to use a semicolon? No.
Yes, I do.
Can Archer use a semicolon? No. Subject verb agreements? No.
Yes, that I have no problem with.
Oh, I've caught a couple of those.
Nobody's perfect. Plus, you know, when blogs...
I caught some sentence fragments.
When blogs first started, it was not about the technical stuff. It was just getting your thoughts down and sharing them with people.
Did a high school English teacher create that? No.
I have no fucking idea. Probably some cool guy online. Okay, so is
So high school English and history teachers are not cool.
I noticed you just threw history in there. You started out talking about English.
Well, Archer refuses to believe that I am multifaceted in my career.
Oh, sweetheart. No, I absolutely know you are.
I revealed this evening...
Well, he's not quite sure about it.
I am qualified.
You're not quite sure about it, though.
What do you mean I'm not quite sure
about an endorsement?
We don't use that word where I teach.
It's like a second degree.
We don't call it that. We don't call it an endorsement.
What do you call it?
I don't know, but I'm certified. I am certified to teach in social studies, and I have enough hours that if I wanted to teach in English... In the county where
I believe
I teach,
you, sweetheart.
I can teach English.
I believe you. I do believe
because
you.
I've investigated it.
Are you interested in teaching English?
Well, the head of the English department, when I first got my contract, but the head of the English department was interested in hiring me.
For the English?
Yeah.
I know you could do it because God knows you know more than anybody I know. Okay, well, this is the Wine Podcast. Is there
I make mistakes sometimes.
You do. But that's okay.
No one's perfect.
I still love you.
You know what?
Just remember that when you what you just
because
said.
Because someone, a student,
nobody's perfect.
Because a student told me this weekend that I said Edmund Burke was a Tory.
I don't know what
that Edmund Burke wrote Reflections on the Revolution in France in 1790. And I make my students read this every year, and I do this presentation on Edmund Burke. And I found it hard to believe. Are you sure? I said he... Because, well, I don't want to get into the history of it, but Edmund Burke, when he was in Parliament, was a Whig. But over time... But a conservative... I mean, Whig, Tory, I mean, you can't... Oh, I don't like those noises.
It was just a little laughter.
You can't define Whig or Tory as definitely conservative or liberal. So anyway, over time, he became... his interests were more Tory. He became part of George III's circle of friends. He was the Patriot King. Oh, I don't like those noises.
I actually don't. Okay,
by the time he wrote Reflections... His interests were more Tory. His support was from the Tory party. So I wasn't certain if I said he was indeed a Tory. But anyway, the student said that I did. I didn't believe him. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt. So I'll have to go back and correct that alleged mistake. When he was in Parliament, he was a Whig. When he wrote Reflections, he was more Tory-minded, but technically probably a Whig. All right, you can stop with your insulting noises. I like how you control all the panels here. How loud I can speak. The noises in the background. Oh, yes, Bill O'Reilly. Go on. Insult. Turn down the microphone. Censor.
No,
oppress.
I'm just watching the little bubbles on the
oh,
top.
Because, sure.
Because when you're so loud, it makes, you know, it hurts people's ears.
I have
ears.
Al Gore on my side.
Okay. Let's get back to the topic, because this whole podcast is about the wine. Is there anything else you'd like...
Oh, I forgot. Distract. Go ahead. All right.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about with the wine? Because that's really what the issue is here.
Wine is the language of love.
It is, isn't it?
And I love my Archer.
Oh, I love you too, sweetie. So I guess we'll end. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay. Then until next time, boys and girls, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.